And turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. Okay. Isaiah chapter 6. I'll be reading the first 8 verses. Beginning with verse 1 of Isaiah 6, reading through verse 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Today is obviously the first day of school. And to one extent or another, everybody here today has at one level said to the Lord, "Here am I, send me." Now, maybe you haven't said it in those words. Maybe you haven't heard a clear call from God to do this ministry or that ministry. But you're here today because you want to serve God faithfully. You want to prepare yourself for work in his kingdom. And at one level, you can identify with Isaiah in verse 8 when he says, "Here am I, send me." Now, maybe some of you are still hesitant on that. Here am I. I hope I'm ready to serve you. But because you're here, you've all taken the call of God seriously. But I want to ask, as we begin this school year, are you qualified to serve? Now, you're not fully qualified in every sense of that word, because you're here preparing for service. But is the basic qualification for service true in your life? If you look at verse 7, you'll see what the basic qualification is for service. That your guilt has been taken away, and that your sin has been atone for. This may well not have been Isaiah's conversion experience. We don't know that to be the case, and I don't think it probably was. But all of us here today need to be sure as we begin this quarter that our guilt has been taken away and that our sin has been atoned for. And we need daily to live in a state of repentance before our great God. In Isaiah's vision, as we've just read, a seraphim came with tongs and picked up that coal from the altar and touched the mouth, touched the lips of Isaiah. And he was cleansed. His guilt was removed. And that's what we need to do on a daily basis. We're not going to be, I don't think anybody's going to be seeing visions like Isaiah saw. We're not going to be seeing theophanies or Christophanies. But God's given to us this book. He's given it to us this Bible. And we're going to spend time in this Word. And by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is my prayer that more than ever before in your life and in my life, we will see through this book, by the work of God's Spirit, the Lord high and lifted up. The theme, the sermon topic for today is high and lifted up. We want, through the study of this Word, to see the Lord high and lifted up. You will be studying theology. Good theology has the potential to be used by God to point you to Christ. That's the whole point of systematic theology, so we might get a view of the triune God who is exalted over all, who is glorious, whose glory fills the earth, whose train fills the temple. But you can study theology here and not see the God of theology. I mean, the whole object of theology is God. But some of you may find it hard to believe, but you can study here and do the assignments and miss the God whom we worship. Biblical studies, church history, systematics, all should be pointing us to see the Lord, the sovereign God, high and lifted up, whose glory fills the whole earth, whose train fills the temple. There's not one square inch that doesn't belong to the Lord of hosts. And we want, with spiritual eyes, to see the Lord this year in our studies. Think of the Apostle Paul as he writes such grand theology in any of his books, in any of his epistles. Like Romans, for example. He gives us all of that theology. But you know Paul, he can't just give theology. In the middle of it, he's bursting forth in doxology. He's praising the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praising him. Romans chapter 11, after 11 chapters of the best theology ever written. Oh, the depths of the riches, the understanding of God. For of him and through him and to him are all things. May that be our experience. May we burst forth into doxology. May we see the Lord high and lifted up, with the train filling the temple and the glory filling the earth. In the vision, the seraphim are above God with wings covering the face and with wings covering the feet and with wings that fly. The picture is even of the angelic beings, not even in the presence of God without their faces and their bodies covered because of the holiness of God. They're calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." When I was a kid, growing up in the Winchester RP Church, I used to listen occasionally to a visiting pastor, and he would get into the pulpit, and with trembling voice as he prayed, he would say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, is the Lord of hosts." To my shame, as a child, I thought that was the funniest thing, to have voice quivering and to be saying, "Holy, holy, holy." That's to my shame. There is nothing humorous about the holiness of God. And we need to see the holiness of God at work among us this year. You all know this. Holy, holy, holy. Three is a perfect number in Scripture. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. More than that, though, the number three, well, as the original languages didn't have points of emphasis except to repeat. And so you'll see truly, truly, or verily, verily, or things like that. When the author wants to emphasize a point, the only attribute of God, as you know, that is thrice repeated is the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy. You never see love, 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 or faithful, faithful, faithful. Holy, holy, holy is the triune God. And the foundations of the threshold shook. Smoke filled the house at the Holy One of Israel as Isaiah saw him in this vision. And Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me, for I am lost." Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And when we see the holiness of God, when we see the great God high and lifted up, we should be undone. We should see our depravity. There should be no pride left in us when we see the holiness of God. And we want together, I want you to join with me as we seek to see in a new way this year the God of the Bible exalted among us, majestic, holy, present in our midst. The seraphim took the coal and he touched the lamp. And of course, this points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar was where the sacrifices were. Christ is the final sacrifice for sin. And we need that sacrifice applied to our mouths, to our lips, to our lives, to our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit of the living God to take what Christ did at Calvary and make it sear our conscience, sear our hearts, sear our lips, so that we are cleansed. Our guilt is removed. We are more like Jesus because we have studied here this year. If you study here this year and you learn a lot of great theology and you're not in love with Jesus anymore than you were today, or you're not seeing Jesus high and lifted up. By the way, John 12:41 speaks of Isaiah seeing Jesus here. We don't see the exalted Christ more. We don't see our own sinfulness more. Our study is not very worthwhile. Why are many seminaries today called cemeteries? Well, for liberal seminaries, I think the answer is obvious. I mean, if you don't have a reliable word from God and you're going to question everything in here to see if it's from God or not from God, we're left without a sure word. But why do conservative seminaries sometimes become cemeteries for those who study there? Well, it is possible for you to do your work this year and to have this Bible open a lot, but just begin to take it like any other textbook you read. But I'm calling you over and over again in this sermon. See the Lord high and exalted as you study. There are many competitors. Good grades, good sermons, evaluation of your fellow students when they preach, winning theological debates in the hallways with your fellow classmates. Those are all more or less good things, perhaps. But don't lose the focus. Don't become like the church in Ephesus who lost their true love, but continue to see God high and exalted among us. That's what I want for you and for me this year. Turn with me to Revelations 4 as we conclude. Revelation 4. And I just want to read verse 8. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. John Calvin says in his commentary on Isaiah 6 that part of the thrice repeated holiness of God is an unceasing praise to the triune God. And here we see Revelation saying, they never cease saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. May our experience this year at RPTS point us to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The bell rung early. We are on time. We'll sing Psalm 99A as we conclude. Please turn in your psalm books to Psalm 99A, and let's stand as we sing together. Please rise.